You're listening to an iGroom Hub podcast for dog groomers. iGroom Hub is an online learning platform for groomers of all levels. Sit back, relax, and enjoy what iGroom Hub Media has to offer. And welcome to another episode of iGroom Hub Media Podcast, or welcome back if you are a regular listener. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But on today's episode, we have a very, very special guest, and we are so honored and excited to have her a part of our podcast. If you don't know her, you may know her, or you definitely want to look her up. She is amazing, all the way from California. We have interviewed the amazing Jess Rona from Jess Rona Grooming. That's what you can search her on Instagram. Nat and I did her interview via Zoom. So sit back, relax, or relax while you're grooming and enjoy.
Hi, folks. Nat and Tay with you on another podcast. And we are super, super excited to introduce to you, drum roll please, Jess Rona, all the way from Los Angeles. Welcome, Jess.
Yay.
For those of you
Thank you so much.
Those of you who don't know Jess, I'm just going to do a little bio for you, Jess, and you can jump in any time to correct me. But apparently you are a groomer to the stars. We know you're a groomer to the stars. You're a producer, which is awesome, a comedian. What else are you, Jess? You've got many, many, many things that you do, and you do them so well. So,
well, thank you. Wow. I mean, yeah, I think just a content creator, an entrepreneur.
Yeah,
I'm very attractive and very humble.
I can see that. It's nice to be able to have a chat with you. And I know you've had a long day at work and we're just starting our day here. So we are.
Oh, yes. Oh, good morning.
Thank you. Good afternoon to you.
Thank you.
Tell you what, we really wanted to ask for you, Jess, where it all started. How did you actually get into grooming? We know where you are now and we can't wait to talk about where you are, but I want to take you back and just understand a little bit of your journey in the grooming industry, how you came in, how you fell into grooming.
My poodle is trying to get on my lap, but that would be a no for me. He's so needy. If anybody listening, if you have a poodle, they're so needy.
I have a poodle. Yeah.
So are husbands. I mean, they're all poodles, husbands. Okay. So I started out, you know, I just kind of fell into it really.
Yeah.
I was a dog bather for a long time. Do you guys have PetSmart?
No. PetSmart? It's probably like Pet Stock Best Friends is the equivalent of.
We have franchises.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's just a big box corporate store that has all kinds of stuff for dogs and everything and birds and reptiles and everything. So it's where I used to buy my cat food when I was growing up. Well, my mom would buy our cat food there. And one day she saw a help wanted sign and she went to the manager and she was just like, my daughter needs a job. You know, and I was like, yeah, I mean, she's like, why don't you work here? You like animals. So, okay. So I've always wanted to be an actress. So I was like, okay, whatever. I need a car. I need to have some kind of job. So maybe I can see what they offer. And they had a list of different jobs on the application. They had, you can work with aquatics. You can work as a cashier. You can work in the pet food area. And then at the very bottom, it said dog bather. And I was like, dog bather. That's the least 9-to-5 sort of job I could think of. So let me give it a try. I'm just, okay, dog bather. Great. So I knew nothing. We had cats. I had never had a dog. It was just like something I just, yeah. And so I started and I remember the first day or like the first week or so, the manager was like, can you put the lead on the lab and bring him back? And I was like, what's a lead and what's a lab? That's how much I knew about dogs.
You're pretty green.
I knew nothing. I was probably 18 at the time. And so I was just a bather for years, probably like 2 years. I remember I would bathe on the floor and I would wear these old, I'm from the San Fernando Valley, so a lot of skateboarders. So I would wear my skate shoes, you know, trying to be cool. And they would just be soaking wet and disgusting every day. And I would just like, I was just, you know, a kid who just didn't know any better. And so I would just, it was a hard life. It was a hard, hard job, but I've always been a hard worker. I've always had two jobs. Yes, so I also worked in restaurants.
Oh, wow. Okay. But when you say,
yeah, so I was
just a bather. Sorry? You're not just a bather. Bathing is hard work and it, you know, it's
yeah.
everything up. So, you know, you're doing most of the hard work there.
Yeah. I mean, this was, you know, 1 million years ago. And like, they didn't even really have clip-on combs back then. Like, it was just like, not even, no chunkers and thinning shears and fun things. It was just like,
we didn't even
have like
finishing blades. They were all skip blades.
Yeah. I'm spoiled. I started when everything was amazing.
You don't know how hard it was.
It was so hard. I mean, and we're spoiled because if you look at footage from like the 50s, you had to like, it was like a big like horse clipper that they would use for poodles. And like, anyway, I love old
footage. And they do it in their high heels and their skirts too.
So cute. You know what I found out? My grandmother worked at a grooming shop in the 50s. I had no idea. Isn't that cool?
It's in your
DNA. I had no idea. It's in my DNA. So anyway, I cut to, I was working at PetSmart for a couple of years, and then I just happened to have the luck of having this woman mentor me. And she was like, here's how you trim nails. Here's how you trim pads. Here's what a schnauzer pattern is. Like, this is like the basics. And it was, I just started going for it and I just started learning to groom. And so I was just really lucky to have someone to start showing me. I was terrible, so terrible. And I bounced around. Like, I was at PetSmart for probably 4 years. And my dream was to be a waitress so that I can have my days free to pursue acting. That was my big goal when I was in my early 20s. So I started working at restaurants at night and then doing grooming, part-time during the day. And then I just did that for years and years and years. And I just had no technical skill. I was really good at blending because I could do that with my shears, but there was no shape. There was no intention, no technical know-how, no balance, anything.
Yeah.
And so I moved away to New York. Stopped grooming dogs, waited tables only, started doing comedy. I had always done acting and that sort of thing. But I started doing comedy at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater, which is this big, well-known improv theater in New York. And so I would just like wait tables and do improv all the time. And then I hit 30 and I was like, I don't really want to wait tables anymore. I had waited tables for like a good 6 or 7 years. And I was just like, it's time for me to just get serious about grooming and just, I want to get really good at grooming and really good at improv. Those are my passions.
Okay.
So I moved back to LA and I just kind of started from scratch. I was like, I'm going to get really good. I'm going to do grooming competitions. I'm going to ask for feedback. I'm going to try really hard. This was, probably 2012 was my first grooming competition. So, do you guys know Jay Scruggs and Sue Zecco?
No.
I'm better with faces than I am with.
Okay.
Now, audience.
So back in the day, they now have an app, but back in the day, they would just sell a DVD series, which I purchased individual DVDs, videos called Super Styling Sessions. Oh, and that's really, have you heard of it?
I've got them.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, you do? You have the DVDs?
Yep.
No way.
I probably had
all,
and that's a hold up.
It's all online now. They're so smart.
Yeah.
They have an app. But Jay Scruggs, he would just, I kind of was like fangirling when I first met him back in 2011 or 12. And I was like, hey, you're so good. How do you do it? You're a magician. And so he would give me feedback. This was before Instagram. So I would email him before and after photos. And he was gracious enough to give me feedback.
Oh, good.
He was so nice and kind. Yeah, he's the best. We're friends. It's amazing.
And then a lot when you've got someone that you can actually, who can guide you and who can help you. And I think, as people who have come through the industry who are a little bit older, it's kind of our responsibility to be able to put back into the community to keep the bar rising, to keep the education free and, flowing. So, yeah, that's great.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just kind of like a long, I'm giving you the long version, but yeah, I was like, working in all of these grooming shops. I was working at this one shop and I kept leaving to go on auditions. And she fired me, but I had found this house in the hills in Hollywood that had a washer dryer hookup. And I was like, this in the garage. Mm. I was like, this could be a little bit of a cute little side business, a side hustle while I pursue acting, so I can pay my bills with grooming dogs and just groom dogs in my garage and do other things.
It's what I can get from you is that you've got such a commitment to yourself. You've got a commitment to be really good at two key areas of your life, and you've committed yourself to that. And that really shows. And you can see that you've got that passion, and that passion is the thing I think that's carrying you and you know, willing yourself to do better, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for seeing that. There is a shadow side to it, because the burnout is really easy. Because I'm so driven that I annoy myself. I have so many ideas. I'm an actual insane person. I'm like, well, what if we do this? What if we do that? You know, but just refuse to waste my life.
One of our followers actually asked, how do you stop yourself from burning out and losing your passion for doing?
Losing my passion, I don't think I've lost my passion. I just think it evolves and morphs like a cloud, and it just kind of evolves into a different shape, but it never goes away. But I just refuse to waste my life. I refuse to. This is my one life that is me, this version of myself, my one chance. So why would I waste it? And also, by the way, I spent my 20s and 30s wasting it, because I was just, you know, hanging out, doing improv, partying, smoking weed, you know, and I feel like I just kind of like let a lot of time go by, so that I have this new sense of urgency within me that's like, wait a minute, I'm in my 40s now. It's time to, like, I have all these dreams. So, like, it's time to, like, go for it. Just really, really go for it.
I wonder if if that question from one of our, you know, people that sent that in, I wonder if they are in the same boat as a lot of groomers, where you have to be everything. You have to be your accountant. You've got to do your own books. You've got to do your own bookings. You've got to talk to your clients. You've got to do your own grooming.
You don't. You do not have to do that. That is an operator, not an owner. If you own a business, you don't have to do that. You just want to make sure you don't have to wear those hats.
No.
The smarter, savvy business owner can delegate, pay money that maybe they don't even have yet, and delegate and hire people so that they can be an owner and be the creativity. Just want to put that out there.
That's where burnout comes from. It comes from just doing too many things and wanting to do more, but not having the energy. And you think, you start to get hard on yourself going, but I really wanted to do this, but I haven't been able to do it because I'm swamped under all of this work. And delegation is really key to that. Totally.
Yeah, but like, here I am saying that, but I'm like, I'm in that right now, because my business, so the brick and mortar is only a year and a half old. It's almost 2 years old. But the main bulk of my business, we were in the garage for 6 years. Isn't it funny that I tried to, like, have a business in my garage to give myself more time for acting? And then the business just, like,
don't know, is it funny?
Blew up. It's because of Instagram. Like, Instagram blew up my business. I was just this tiny, private, unknown little thing, and Instagram blew everything up.
I remember watching your videos with the slow and the hair, you know, moving slow mo. That was just so gorgeous. It's like, wow, you're making grooming sexy. Yeah. So it's been great
to
do that as well. And Instagram is a great platform. Social media is a great platform if you have the keys and the know-how to actually drive it, I reckon. So you
obviously. Yes.
What is your best advice for someone that's to help themselves grow in social media?
My best advice is to come from a place not of how do I get more followers, but come from a place of how do I give more education, humor, joy, happiness. So come from a place of giving, where it's fulfilling and happy to share, versus, oh, I need to get more. Because wanting things it's an energy, and people can feel the energy. So I think if you just have fun and just give and play, There's so many fun sounds now that you can do, like you can use sounds. Other advice I have is to tap into your artistry and be mindful of what, like the visually, what you're putting out there. Like a lot of times I see people who like post photos or videos and like the dog's head's cut off or like the dog, you know, or like not head, you know what I mean? Like in the frame to give me a look like. Like, no, but like the head is cut off in the frame of the shot, I should say, or like the dog is trembling and, or there's just like coffee mugs in the background and like, it's messy. And if there's one thing to have mess, like in my Instagram stories, I have like messy, like hair all over the floor and, you know, I don't care. I do my little dismount. Yeah, it's okay. But like, if you're doing a reel or a TikTok or something, I don't know, just like, just be mindful of the vibe of what you're putting out there and focus on giving. That's my biggest advice.
Yeah.
And consistency. I mean, consistency, people love voiceovers. So do a voiceover.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. Jess, I need to check your ears because I've heard that you are the Picasso of fur. Does that mean that you've actually hurt your ear at some stage?
Oh my God, my ears are okay.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
Wait, where did you hear that? What is that?
Yeah. Picasso. Picasso cut off his ear.
Did he?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never cut off any of my limbs.
That's good.
Although I did have a skin tag removed.
Maybe that's
a tiny, tiny limb.
There you go.
What is your greatest achievement out of your whole career?
Wow.
Holy cannoli.
It's got to be this moment, surely.
Yeah.
It's this moment. It's with you guys. I would say probably my TV show, which I guess you guys don't have.
No, right, I scoured the internet yesterday trying to find it, and we can't even watch it, like snippets on YouTube.
It's HBO, isn't it?
Really? Yeah.
I think I may have found that you can possibly watch it on Hey You, which is a streamer like Netflix that we can watch TV series, but I didn't have that, so I couldn't check if it was on there.
Please tell us about
it. I thought you were committed to learning about me.
We want to know about it, though, because it sounds great. And did you actually produce it as well?
I co-produced it. I mean, I did not produce it. I am not a TV producer, but I did help, you know, source the bathtubs and sort and cast the groomers. Like I would kind of give a, you know, a thumbs up for certain for the groomers. And, you know, so I had a part in the creation of the show.
Okay.
I helped, you know, connect producers with the brands that I love. And that was my version of producing. And like also the creativity behind the look and the vibe was mostly from my brand. I mean, it's vintage dog photos on the walls and kitschy 70s cheesy glam, which is like very much my brand. So the vibe, the style of the show was inspired by my brand. And yeah, I helped sort of create, like I helped produce. I did not produce alone at all.
Was it hard work doing the show? Because you were one of the judges.
It was, yeah. Oh man, judging was not, it was way harder than I thought it would be.
I
don't like having to send people home or to just, it was just, it was really tough. That was the part that I was like, oh wow, this isn't fun right now. And I would go home and think about it. I think the hardest part about making that show was that we shot it in July of 2020, right in the heart of the pandemic.
Yeah.
So we were all having to separate and quarantine and I couldn't hang out with people. And it was like, we had to be tested every single day. And you know, that was the challenge. And it gave me a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
And I became this like anxious version of myself that looking back, I'm like, man, I really could have just calmed down, but I was just in high alert. I was staying in a hotel because my husband was terrified of COVID. it was just really like, it was high stress. And looking back, I'm like, man, I was really stressed out during the filming.
Everyone, Jess. But then on top of that, to be doing something so unique and so different and challenging, that's fantastic that you actually got through it. So, and
yeah, man, it was crazy. And I cared so much about it. I think that was like, that's a big lesson, that when you care so much, you end up creating the issue or the problem that you're trying to avoid. Yeah.
What was the best part of the show?
What was the what?
Best part of the show.
Oh, man. I mean, improvising with the host and my co-judge. Mm-hmm. We would just sit at the table and do bits and improvise all day long while watching dog grooming. It was like my two worlds colliding.
Yeah.
In the most beautiful way. It was magical. I was like, improv and dog grooming. This is my dream.
I'll hunt it down and try and find it. Do you reckon there'll be a season two? Because there was only one season of it, wasn't there?
Yep, just one season, no more.
Oh, so we have to get a hands on it.
Unless you bring it here.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If anyone's listening.
That's it, exactly.
Let's create it.
I know
how to do it now.
Speaking of creating, you've actually got some courses out, Jess. Can you tell us about that?
Yes.
Really exciting.
Yes. So I have the Many Faces of JRG that I released in, I think, December of 2020. And it's just blown up and gone. And just, I mean, it's been a huge success. And I love seeing everyone's before and after, like before the course and after the course, because it's basically a blueprint on how I create adorable faces on any type of dog. So I have a series of different dogs that I do the same blueprint on, but there's different ear shapes, different fit coat types. So I basically show how to train your eye and how to have a blueprint on how to approach faces. So then now I have the body blueprint that's about to come out, which I've been working almost a year on. Wow. I'm sure you know, putting a big course together is beyond time consuming because you want it to be perfect. You're like, this is the biggest thing.
We've done the same thing, but we came up with a little bit of resistance to actually online learning, which is really strange because we released our courses probably about 3 years ago. And we found it, people are saying, oh, you can't learn grooming online. Like, they're just like, you know, going crazy at us. But there is so much you can learn online, isn't there, really?
I mean, my God. I learned Instagram has taught me so much about grooming. When I first got Instagram back in like 2014, 2015, I was like, I can see pictures of grooms from Asia. Asian style grooming.
Yeah.
It opened my eyes. And so I was able, I don't think you can only learn grooming online. I don't think you can just watch a bunch of courses and then go try it. But if you're a working groomer, I'm constantly learning online, constantly, all the time. Super styling sessions. I mean, there's so much. I would love to see your courses. I'm always looking for new shears, techniques. Everything's online. But I do agree that you can't only learn online. You have to have hands-on. So my courses are for working groomers or for people who want to become working groomers.
Fantastic.
So I don't think they replace hands-on. I think they're wonderfully accompanying hands-on. But that's what so basically I've learned because I've trained many employees. Mm-hmm. Now that I have a team, over the years, I've basically become a teacher where I teach every single day. And I'm sure you know this, but teaching teaches you.
Yep.
And so I've learned so much about how to become a good teacher by teaching. All of my students are my teachers as well. Absolutely. And so I've learned that sometimes looking at the dog as a whole can be overwhelming. So why don't you just break it down into sections and then stand back and look to see? You obviously want to see the dog as a whole so you can balance it. But what if I just had some blanket rules? What if I just said, this is how you shorten a body and this is little tips and tricks that will separate you from other groomers? And so that's why I created the body blueprint, because as I've been teaching this blueprint, I was like, this is kind of like the JRG style.
Yeah.
This is why if you come to JRG and you get, you know, a number 2 on the body and a number 0 on the legs, yes. If you come to my shop and do that, those lengths, it will look different than if you go to another shop and do the same exact length. Yes. And it's because of the blueprint. And the blueprint is inspired by Jay Scruggs and Suzeko Super Styling Sessions, oh. Lindsay Dickin, like all my favorite.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep.
She has a beautiful Bichon video on learntogroomdogs.com.
Yep.
Which I love her. And like I've taken like Irina Pinkusevic, Pina. I've been the student for so long and I do have all that passion. So I'm like, oh my God. Lindsay just did a foot like this. Jay Scruggs just did a foot like this. I'm going to do it like this too. And I'm going to put my own spin on it. So I have even a foot trimming blueprint that is inspired by Jay Scruggs and Lindsay Dickin, but it's my own version of learning from everybody and putting my own spin on it.
Yes.
So a lot of groomers tell me like, I don't know how to get cute round feet. I don't know how to get that beautiful prep work. I'm overwhelmed. Or even just like, I'm bored. I'm sick of the same old shave downs. I need inspiration. Mm. And so, because I pull my audience, I'm like, what bothers you guys? Mm-hmm. And so I hear that and I'm like, this is the course to fix those issues. This is the course that I've put together to fix. There's prep work, there's products, there's tools. Like I've spent so much time perfecting this course that I just feel like it will change the way anybody grooms dogs who watches it.
It's through your courses and just from watching a little bit about you, Jess, I can feel that it's not just the technical side of things that you are giving over. And not everyone can be a teacher, by the way. It is a gift to be able to train and teach and lead people through, how to be good leaders when they have a dog in front of them. But I get a real sense that you have a calmness that you bring that is really an approachable sort of energy. And you've talked about energy before that you have with the dog. And we feel that that's something that we are really concentrating on and really trying to do better, managing with anxiety, managing, difficult dogs or fearful dogs or injured dogs. And they're, not every dog is the same, is it? So you're teaching changes with the dog that you're working on.
Mm. Yeah. And that's part of my course too, is energy work.
Yep.
So I'm going to do a whole course on energy. And cause I keep getting asked about it, but this has been something that has been challenging to teach because exactly what you said, every dog's different. But I have learned how to articulate because, part of teaching is articulating. Because when I first started teaching, I was like, I don't know, you just go like this. I don't know how to explain it. You just do this.
Yeah.
And so I was like, when I first started training, my first employee was like, wait, I don't understand. Like, wait, how did you do that? And I would have to be like, okay, let me think about how to explain this. Yeah. And that was like 7 years ago.
You've got to have the time.
Yeah. I mean, it was just me and her in the garage. So it was pretty, we could do it. We had the time. Thank God, because that really helped me become a teacher. But I love that you said that not everybody can teach because I haven't really thought about that because it is kind of like its own skill. Like you have to learn how to articulate what you're saying. But anyway, back to the energy stuff. Okay. Here's what I've figured out. So dogs are energy readers.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So it's important for us to be mindful of our energy. And every lesson that I have in the blueprint, I have a groomer's energy practice every single day that you can do during the course and forever. And the more mindful with compassion you can be, it's not just awareness, because you can be like, oh, I'm doing this anxious thing. Motherfucker, I'm doing this fucking anxious thing. Sorry, I hope it's okay that I can curse.
Yeah. Okay. We're Australian. It's totally fine.
I said that. Okay, great. But like, what I've learned is you have to have awareness plus compassion. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm doing that thing. Okay. It's okay. Let me take a deep breath. It's okay. And so
it comes through your hands.
The main thing is to
it comes through your hands. Whatever you're feeling will come through your hands and that gets placed onto the dog and the dog reads that energy, obviously.
Oh yeah. And so it all starts with, so there's a couple parts to my energy stuff. It's my own personal energy, being mindful and compassionate. This is mindful of the things I'm thinking and saying because they create your world and everything around you. They create the vibe. They create your frequency. They create everything, your words and thoughts and beliefs. So be mindful of, sometimes we spiral, oh man, this looks like shit. This haircut doesn't look good. Oh my God, this is horrible. This dog, I got to get done in 2 hours. What am I going to do? 2 hours, 1 hour, 30 minutes. What am I going to do? That's a spiral. So if you can be mindful and pivot, I have it in my course, a way I pivot those thoughts. I'm like, oh, I'm spiraling. I switch to a better feeling thought. This haircut is going to look so cute when I'm done with it. Everything is fixable. I'm going to create the cutest dog right now. It's going to be so cute. And even if I don't totally believe it, I still think it, and it does something to me in my body. So that's one thing as far as like, I work on my, I mean, I live in LA, everyone's a big old hippie around here. So like we all meditate, we all have crystals. Like it's a whole deal. I burn Palo Santo, I sage everything. That's how we are. I don't know how the vibe is out there, but that's how it is here in LA.
You know, I'm not sure the vibe is completely like that. I'm sure parts of Australia may be.
We burn eucalyptus.
Really? Is that a thing?
We do have
candles that have eucalyptus.
Okay, fair.
And we ride kangaroos to school.
Oh my God.
We do have access to some awesome people in Australia who are into reading energy. And there's one fellow that we follow here. His name is the Healing Vet, Dr.
Oh, yeah. I think I've heard of, have I heard of him?
Yeah, you would have, because he did famous? One of the senior summit that was on recently. And I can't remember who was actually heading that up now, but it was somewhere in America. And the senior summit was just talking about seniors and how we actually work with seniors, either on the grooming table or in the vet clinic, or when you're walking them or training them or whatever it is, or just owning them, you know, how we can get the best out of our seniors. And a lot of the focus was on energy. And I feel that that is a real push in our industry at the moment. And something we don't really know enough about, and we don't know how to practice that. It's an innate thing anyway. I feel that it's not something you can really teach. You can talk about it, but it's...
No, you can teach it. I'm going to. Okay, so here's what... So it's one thing to have an energetic balance in yourself, and then there's other ways to balance, to like connect with a dog through energy that I've started to teach. Yes. And it's basically looking for behavioral clues to respond to through gentle touch. Yep. So, and after grooming for 100 years, you just kind of get it, but like you can teach it. But, what I was going to say is it starts with gentle touch, but you have to have a confident gentle touch.
Yes.
It can't be a weak gentle. Yep. So you have to have a gentle confidence where you can correct if you need to, and then go right back, follow through with gentle. Even if a dog's like, you know, if a dog does something that you don't want, you correct with touch, and then go right back to gentle. So you're like, that's how I communicate. I touch the dog's shoulder before requesting the arm.
Yeah.
I don't treat the dog like an object. I don't grab an arm. If it starts in the bath, like I wipe the eyes from having like furry water on their eyes. Like I just do everything I can to make the dog feel taken care of, and yep, that I'm in charge, and that I've got their back and their best interest. And I'm also gentle, and I prove it to them over and over. And if they want to sniff my tools multiple times, I have a puppy handling training in my blueprint course.
Yep.
So like puppies need to smell and it's just like marriage. You make them think that they're a part of it. You know what I mean? You make them think that they have a say, you know? So just make the dogs feel like they're in control, even though they're not.
Yeah.
And then you're good to go.
Yes. Can you believe that we're talking about this? Because back in the day, it was just the furthest from this, wasn't it? It was really dip and snip and, you know.
Dip and snip?
Yeah. Don't you think? It was like, wah, wah, off.
Yeah, it was... It was about me. I need to do this to you. You need to just sit there and I'm going to do this thing to you that I know you don't want, but I don't care because I need to make money. Mm-hmm. But now there's a way to do it together.
Yeah.
Even though it's not really together, I'm doing this thing to you, but it's like, I'm going to communicate with you that I understand that you don't want it and that you don't like it. And once a dog feels understood and seen, they calm down. So if I can show them, I understand. It's same with people. Like if you're yelling at the top of your lungs in an argument, and your person you're arguing with is like not getting it, you're so frustrated. And but if they were, if they mirror back to you exactly what your problem is, let me get this straight. This is how I'm hearing what your problem is. And then you could just be like, yeah, that I feel seen and heard. I will calm down.
Yeah. And it's the way it should be. And it's great that you are, that you have so much energy for it, Jess. It's fantastic. It's contagious. And
yes,
I really wish you.
Really? Oh my God.
Course, because I will be doing it. Yeah.
I have one.
Yay,
in my,
will you
I please? Have one that I have to watch. I haven't had a chance to sit and watch it yet. Which one do I have? It's a blue.
The Faces?
Probably. I haven't.
Is it had the, from Grimhouse?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, that yes. was just like a taste of the big course that yeah. I did.
I have that.
You get 10% off, by the way. I should probably just maybe potentially just send you guys the course when it's done. It comes out June 6th, by the way.
Yes.
But the waitlist is open now. So yes. If anyone's listening to this, go to jessronacourses.com and sign up for the waitlist, because I give freebies and fun things in emails if you're on my waitlist. So there are benefits to being on my waitlist because it's basically an email list.
Yep, yep, yep.
So yeah.
Thank you. Another hard question. What is your best and your worst breed that you groom? Like, what is your
best breed
or worst breed to groom?
My favorite breed is a poodle of all kinds.
Yes.
I love a mini poodle.
Yep. Poodles are bomb.
I love freestyle on a poodle. So like Asian fusion, fun, whimsical, something cute. Probably. And then my least favorite would probably be like a Wheaton Terrier, Caribou Terrier.
Yes. They're hard to do. They can be really tricky. Same as the Legato.
Yeah.
Some of our Legatos are really hard to manage. So
really? I have a Legato, but aren't Legatos just one length all over, call it a day?
No, but their personalities are bonkers here.
Oh yeah. I went to Northern Italy once and went to a Legato farm. It was insane. They all had fleas. It was very triggering.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That might be another podcast for another day, Jess.
Matted mess. Yeah.
Hey, Jess, I know that you have just done a big move and it's the end of your working day here. You've been really generous with your time. Is there a burning question that you have for Jess, Tay? Not just a burning?
Well, there's two. They can kind of be conjoined into one. I have, what is your best advice that you could give to a groomer? And where do you see our industry going in the future?
So the best advice I can give to a groomer is to be patient with yourself and with the dogs. Grooming takes forever to get good at. Mm-hmm. And so have, you know, kind and mindful self-talk.
Mm-hmm.
And read books on personal development, because people think that personal development is selfish. But what happens is you guys are shaking your head, but like when I hear it, like it's just selfish, but it's not, because if I'm working on myself, I'm going to be kinder, more generous, more available to everybody around me. And that's just going to, if everybody did that, then they could make the world a better place.
Agreed.
And just, it's just a kinder way to live your life.
Yep.
Book that I love. Sorry.
You're investing in your commitment to yourself. And that's cool.
Oh yeah. Well, when I was in the garage, I would just listen to Audible. Do you guys have Audible?
Yeah.
So I just listened to audiobooks, and my favorites were Jen Sincero. She wrote You Are a Badass. Okay. And You Are a Badass at Making Money. That book changed my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Because she's really funny. So I just would listen to that book over and over, and I'm like, brainwash me. I just want to know how you think.
It might have worked.
It did. Like, I'm obsessed with her. But once I got on that road, my whole world changed. So my biggest advice for any groomer or any human is to listen to some or read You Are a Badass. You Are a Badass at Making Money, and or other books that call to you, that make you want to think about, you know, personal development.
Yeah.
And then what was the other question?
Where do you see or want to see our industry go?
I think what we talked about as far as the energy work goes, that's where I want to see the industry go. And I feel like the universe is giving me a message through you that I need to get started on my energy course at some point soon. Yeah, because I think it's really important.
We spend a lot of time in the course that we have here talking about that and how we read it, and just, you know, just being respectful and just leading a dog through a groom in a kind and loving way. Mm-hmm. And you say, you know, that you have that touch. We call it the loving touch, and you call it a gentle touch, and we have the same connection and the same, I guess, philosophy about respect and working with our dogs to get the best out of them, and to you know, so we can enjoy
and then passing
it, well.
It on to new generations. Like, I'm lucky. She's my mentor, so I've been taught that from the get go. So I know nothing else. I haven't been taught by somebody else going, "Oh no, you just do it." It's like, no, you got to be calm and relax. So I know no different.
So be a good leader.
Yeah. Well, I feel like it's so important to have that as like a huge part of our industry. And another piece that I want to, I hope the industry can change and evolve into, is I want groomers as a whole to charge more. And I think it used to be just pet grooming, but now it's just Rona grooming, or, you know, it's like, I am an individual who's an artist who will do something really special for your dog, versus like a, just like a regular chop shop that has no name and no identity.
Yeah.
So I think, and sure, there's a place for that too, if that's, if you just want to do that. But like, I feel like if everybody charged more, we can elevate the whole industry.
Yeah.
Look at how much people are investing in courses, and people spend money on learning. If you're spending money on learning and you're getting good, listen to that book or read the book. Because it really helped me charge so much.
Right.
So much. And it was very scary.
Change is scary, but you know, you've got the commitment there. And we love, we've loved chatting to you, Jess. We could talk all day. I know that we
all night,
but I would, because I feel like you are a kindred spirit in lots of ways. And we really connect with what you're doing. And I'm really happy that someone else is doing it in the industry and, you know, forging the way really for the new groomers that are coming through. So, well done, and I can't wait to do
it. I have to get your course your courses.
We'll swap dates.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
And I have to come to Australia.
Yes. Please do. You would have.
What if we did a huge, massive event where I just like groomed on a big stage and had everybody like big party?
We don't have anything like that here. Would be cool.
That'd be so fun. If you guys know someone who would organize everything and all I would have to do is show up, then that would be amazing.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us on iGroom Hub, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you want to learn more about iGroom Hub or listen to more episodes, head to www.igroomhub.com.au and make sure you're following us on our social media accounts, so Instagram and Facebook.